Mina Kimes herself, ESPN NFL analyst, joining us now on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline. Hey, Mina, how's it going?
Hey, man, I want to hear those calls. I don't really have my finger on the pulse of Seahawks fandom these days, so I don't know if they're in agreement or disagreement.
I'll tell you, it was like 70-30 agree. I think that about 70% of the callers we got were saying there needs to be some kind of change at the top. A franchise quarterback is hard to find. You know, Pete Carroll makes these mistakes, or some people felt like, hey, ownership needs to step in. And then there were some people that just said, like, hey, you know, the issue is find a cheaper quarterback, which I always see that opinion. I don't agree with it, but it's also, you know, an opinion I understand from people. But I think I would say that while there are some split opinions, the majority of Seahawks fans we spoke with, I think, agreed with you.
I don't know how you can watch what's happened over the last couple of games and think, ah, yes, a quarterback other than Russell Wilson is the answer. Given what he's obviously covered up on this team for some years now, I understand that having a quarterback out of rookie contract, a good quarterback is, you know, the rarest, most precious thing in football. It's also really hard to find. You can watch the quarterbacks this year. So that doesn't square with me at all. I think keeping Russell Wilson happy and doing whatever it takes should be goal number one for ownership. And I'm not, by the way, saying that necessarily means making changes at the top. I'm just saying that should be the priority.
Now, Mina, as you look at what's happened over the last couple weeks, and specifically, you know, on the Monday night game, you'd mentioned, you know, in that cut that we had played, this is not in necessarily just reaction to what I witnessed, but what was it that you saw in this game against the Saints that just had you just losing your mind?
Well, you know, Jake, it actually had me flashing back a little bit, because when you saw the same thing I saw, which was the incessant running, and not just running into the, I think I mentioned in that clip, running into the stacked boxes. I think 9 of 11 runs were into stacked boxes for like 1 yard per carry or something astonishing like that. And some people kind of push back and say, well, you know, that's Geno, you know, they don't trust him, which, again, if you're generating negative 0.13 expected points per play, I don't care if you're taking additional risk with him throwing the ball downfield. You can't win that way. You can't even compete that way. But what I would add to that is it reminded me, actually, of, I believe, the 2019 wildcard game against Dallas. And that was actually really the last time I felt the way I do now, where I'm like, there needs to be like really big picture conversations about this team, because that was a game in which Russell Wilson played. And yet, there was a stubborn adherence to running the ball into a defense that was doing a very good job stopping it, and it was equally frustrating to me. So, you know, I'm not inside the locker room of the front office. I don't know who's making what decisions and where, you know, whether what comes from the play caller versus the head coach versus whatever, but all I know is something needs to change.
Yeah, that's kind of what Jake and I were talking about earlier, the idea that, like, there's no easy decision. Like, in a perfect world, Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll could figure it out, because you're not guaranteed to get a better quarterback if you move on from Russ, nor are you guaranteed to get a better coach, per se, if you move on from from Pete Carroll, right? Like, you could stumble onto someone like Adam Gase or someone who, like, who fans completely hate. And then you don't want to throw away some of the culture-building aspects. But, I mean, I found myself kind of clinging to the culture-building aspects as my last defense, which... I've always enjoyed interviewing Pete Carroll. It's never been something where I thought he was a bad coach per se, but I just kind of look at it as like there needs to be some kind of agreement met, because it seems like an unsustainable relationship right now where Wilson and Carroll are.
He's a great coach. I mean, obviously his record speaks for itself, but I think where I might take the question about him and sort of his team and the lack of success they're having recently is coaching, you know, it depends also on personnel, right? And when we talk about sort of the conservative decisions, and that goes beyond running the ball, I kind of alluded to some of them in that clip with the punts and, well, clock management isn't conservative, that's just bad. But, you know, it speaks to a defensive mindset. And the problem is Seattle doesn't have the defensive personnel to play that style of football. And that's not necessarily, again, that gets to this like kind of above my pay grade question that I don't know what sort of influence Pete Carroll has on the drafts and the trades and the signings and whatnot. Clearly, you guys know the drafts have not worked out in recent years. I mean, when, you know, LJ Collier is a healthy and active, you're doing something wrong. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they've had some bad luck with McDowell and now Taylor battling through injury, who actually, you know, has flashed some this season. But, you know, it's quite possible that if Seattle had more elite talent in their secondary and maybe had found a pass rusher that worked out, Pete Carroll would be the right coach for this team, you know what I mean? And his approach would be fine. I guess what my saying is, like, when you look at the reality of this roster, that's where you start questioning the decision-making. Mm.
Yeah, and Mina, we really kind of took a deep dive heading into this week comparing the Saints and the Seahawks and how the Saints have been able to replenish their roster. And you just look from the 2017 draft on, I mean, it is very glaring, the differences there. And also, it comes down to this fundamental question that I'm asking you, Mina, is that the Saints and other organizations who have had very strong stars at head coach and quarterback, they've been able to do a good job of weathering through bad years and staying aligned. Do you believe that Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson are aligned enough for them to get through this kind of, you know, stormy time?
I think that's an answer that we will definitely have at the end of this season. I think if the decision-making, play calling, whatever, looks the way, whenever Russell Wilson comes back, if it looks the way, you know, it has at times early on, then I would say probably not. I mean, I don't speak with Wilson. I don't know what his goals are. Obviously, I heard all the noise last year. And look, by the way, I talked about the bad drafts they've had defensively. This is a team that drafted DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. Damian Lewis looks like a decent player. Like, they've made good decisions on that side of the ball. Last season, I would say they took a very aggressive approach to the passing attack early on. That speaks to Pete's somewhat flexibility and a willingness to change. But if that willingness doesn't come earlier this year, and when I say earlier, I mean, frankly, before Russell Wilson comes back, to mm-hmm. be honest, then I think you have to start asking the hard questions. And I go back to, without knowing what the different parties' kind of interests are, I go back to my point, which is Russell Wilson is the rare commodity here, or the, you know, he is the thing that every NFL team wants that is so hard to find. And for me, organizationally, it's not really a hard decision in terms of who you prioritize.
What have been some of the conversations you've had with people about the season as a whole, outside of just what to do about Pete Carroll or Russell Wilson? I mean, it's weird, Mina. You start the season thinking, oh, this could be a Super Bowl team against Indy. That was great. Great offensive line. They had the pass rush going. And then starting with the second half against Tennessee, it's just all downhill and it doesn't really let up.
Yeah, real implosion. I think... obviously, defensively is kind of, because of Wilson getting hurt, I think the conversation around the offense is like, oh, you know, it's Geno Smith. What can you do? But again, you talk about the Saints. That's a team that's weathered multiple backups and found ways to win. But if you don't trust Geno Smith to throw the football, why is he still your backup quarterback after multiple years, right? But setting that aside, I think nationally, there's a lot of, every year it seems like people are surprised and new that Seahawks don't have an elite defense, even though it's been like 5 years now, right? Something like that. So I think there was hope, and I'm guilty of it too, that, you know, you'd see more of a replenished pass rush with all the depth they had there, and that they'd get something, you know, they'd find a way to utilize Jamal Adams better. I think they're still working through that, but I'd say that's what really has people kind of given up on this team outside of Seattle, is the play of the defense, separate from Russell Wilson getting hurt.
Mina, we appreciate you coming on, taking the time with us. We really do appreciate it. We always love having you on here. And
I mean, look, Mina, did Jake and I get into a fight about who we think you're better friends with? No, that's insane.
Oh,
of
man.
Course, we didn't do that.
This is like being between Pete and Russ. I'm not gonna pick either one.
Am I Pete?
You could argue about who the Russ is after I get off the phone.
No. Oh no.
Mina, I value our friendship. We appreciate you coming on. Thank you so much for you know, the fiery takes you gave. And look, I will send you, because you asked for it, I will send you our callers from yesterday, because they brought it. They absolutely brought it.
Oh, boy.
Every perspective. I will send you that, and so you can take a listen as to where exactly the fans are feeling here in Seattle.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Hear Jake and Stacey every day from 10 to 2 on 710 ESPN Seattle.